About 4 years ago, I had the privilege to go on a short-term mission trip to the island of Haiti. And during that 1 week short trip, right in the middle of the week, God gave me a vision for the nation of Haiti. Isn't that amazing? How many here believe that God can speak? Amen? And he says, you know, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so God gave me a vision for the nation of Haiti. And when he did, he spoke to me the verse in 1 Kings when Ahab was the king in the north. And this guy named Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria. And Ben-Hadad came to Ahab and he says, I'm going to take your wife, your children, and your silver and your gold and everything that you have. And so Ahab cries out to God, and the man of God comes to Ahab and he says, well, how do I go against this great multitude? And he says, and the man of God tells Ahab, he says, it's by the young leaders in the different provinces that you'll be able to muster the army to go against this great multitude. And the Lord spoke to me that verse. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to get a facility in the capital of Haiti, and then I want you to identify the young leaders in the different provinces, and then bring them in, and then every week take them through a book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and get them strong, and that's how we're going to go against this great multitude. Amen? So I got the vision during the week, right in the middle of the week, and I got the vision, and by the end of the week, I surrendered. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. You know, Haiti was a wreck. All the telephone poles are down. You know, one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere, 80% unemployment. And I was, at first, I was wrestling, oh, Lord, not Haiti, please, right? How about the Bahamas? Not Haiti. How about Tahiti? But anyway, you know, so I finally surrendered, and you know, I look back, that was when the Lord started to really start to open up more doors. And anyway, so it was just a few weeks later, I packed my bag. It wasn't up for discussion. I went home. I got my suitcase, started giving my stuff away, gave my car away, put my stuff in my suitcase. And my son's like, where are you going, Dad? I go, I'll talk to you after I get there. This isn't, you know, up for discussion. And so I went about 3 weeks after I got the call. I went into Haiti, and by the grace of God, by the providence of God, when I went to get the facility, the place to start the Haiti Bible Training Center, I ended up leasing the place, the facility, from the Minister of Foreign Affairs, like John Kerry. And so, and this is the guy, I Minister of Foreign Affairs, I ended up leasing the place from him. He owned it. At first, they told me I could never talk to him. I ended up leading him to the Lord. And so the guy got really excited about what we're doing. And all of a sudden, this place that is so difficult, 95% of the missions pull out. All of a sudden, God starts opening doors that no man can close. Amen? And God used this man to help us. He licensed our school. We're one of the only schools in Haiti that's licensed that the students can be ordained by the government. It was 200 years of voodoo, and so they didn't. It was very difficult for somebody to become a licensed pastor legally. And so we're one of the only schools that can license a pastor. And he made us an NGO where we can bring supplies in for the church, and we don't have to pay taxes. And the Lord used this guy. And then when he was finished, the Lord called him home. And that was one of the last things that he did in his life, was to help us. And we didn't know this, but, you know, I really didn't know what the guy did. But they told me, when I got this place, they said, do you know that the owner of this house is one of the most, he's the most power, one of the most highest ranking government officials in Haiti. And so I never really knew what he did. And Lord took him home, and we went to the funeral. And I said, I never knew he was the Minister of Foreign Affairs. I didn't really know what he did. All I know is when we asked him for something, he did it. You know, the Lord used him. And so we're at the funeral, and I'm looking at the thing about, wow, what did this guy do? And it turns out that he was the minister of foreign affairs, and he was also the minister of religion. He was the person that determines who can have a church and the qualifications for the pastors in Haiti. So that was what happened. Amen. And so now we've been there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, the vision, it says in Habakkuk 2, write the vision, make it plain. So it's simple. It's simple. You know, all it is we get this facility, and I start trying to identify young leaders from different provinces, like the text says, not from one area, but from different provinces, and taking them through the Bible. And so we've been doing that now for about 3.5-4 years. We have 7 church plants all over the island. And we have a video of our first student, Leo. I found him. He was living in a tent city. I found him when I first got there. He's the first guy that I brought him. Him and I moved into the facility together. And I started teaching him. He was the first guy. And he's now has his own church in Campesia. And we brought a little video of last Sunday's service. So let's check that out. Amen. Wow. So that's it. That's what we do. That's awesome, actually, because, you know, your church is the one that bought those chairs and that sound system and helped pay for that property that he's at. And, man, that is, we're getting a lot of fruit from that. Amen? Amen. And that's what we do. And, Lord, we just thank you that you who began a good work, Lord, will be faithful to complete it. And Lord, you say, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And so, Lord, we would pray that for my friends here, that even now, Lord, that we'll be able to hear your voice clearly and follow you and watch what you're going to do, Lord. Do something great. You said you call on you and you'll answer us and show us great and awesome things that we know not of. So we give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm excited. That's what we do. We get these guys, and we train them. And we don't teach them. We don't have any other materials. It's really easy. There's no other materials in, really that we can find in Creole, so they can't get confused with man's wisdom. They only have the Word of God. Amen. People are like, don't you teach them anything else? No, we just teach them the Word. It seems to be working just fine. Amen. They don't have to read all those commentaries and stuff and get confused. And so, by the grace of God, it's awesome, you know. And Leo was our first student. When Leo's mother died, when he was about 13 or 14 years old, he said that day God showed him that he was going to be a pastor. And he was, for 5 or 6 years or 7 years or so, he just think, oh, Lord, that's all I want. That's all I want is to be a pastor. And now he's so excited. Our guys are the only guys on the island that are teaching the Bible inductively. He's gone through the advanced inductive Bible strain. He's actually an instructor in inductive Bible study teaching. And They said, the guy that does that, Dan Flintlock, said, this guy's got it. This guy has got it. And he would go through. We'd have pastors. The vision was is to bring these guys, identify the young leaders, bring them in the facility, live with them, and then every week or so have a pastor come in and take them through a book in the Bible. And so that's it. So what they do is the team comes in, and they'll say, okay, we're teaching, Mark chapter 1. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And that guy will take them all the way through Mark. And then the way we schedule it is that team leaves, and then the next day, or hope the next team comes in. So the team goes back. They're exhausted from being in Haiti for a week. And the next fresh team comes in and goes, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And so we just continue to keep them strong in the Word of God. And after about 2 years of that, these guys aren't the same, amen? We wouldn't be the same, right? Think about that. If you were forced, I wonder if this is cruel and unusual punishment to subject them to so much of the Word. They're like, what are we doing today? We're going to go through Romans. What are we doing next? We're going to do Acts. Oh, really? Anything else? Don't worry about it. We'll just go through that, and we'll worry about that the rest later, amen? And you know what I found is it solves like 80 or 90% of the problems that you have in the ministry. I'll have someone come and say, I got a situation. Can I talk to you? I go, why don't you go through Romans this week and we'll talk at the end of the week. He's never seen him again. There's your answer. So that's what we do. Leo would go to the classes during the day, and a guy from California, a guy spent his whole life, he made these, he wrote theology for the prisons in Kenya. It was the guy's whole life work, the pastor. And he asked if he could pay Leo, I think it was $125 a month to translate it into Creole. And I said, sure, he would love $125 a month. And so anyway, Leo would do the classes during the day and the translating. And at night, I could look under his door and his lights were on. And he translated the guy's entire life work in less than a year into Creole. And that's just the intensity and the hunger and the desire that we're finding with these guys. And it's such a blessing because he was our first student and he's setting the example. He was just affiliated to be a Calvary Chapel, and he is so excited. And so what we do is we take the other students in there. They might be struggling with something, and we'll go, okay, guys, you're going to go out to Leo now. That's our new plan. You go out to Leo and stay with him for a few weeks and come on back. And so the Lord's just ordaining that, amen? And that's how he's going to take the island. And that's God's, we're so excited about what God's doing there. And if you open your Bibles, I was with Tom and Louise this morning, and we were at breakfast, and we started to look at this passage, and I've been thinking about it today. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel has a dream. And in this dream, he sees these four beasts. Okay? And so it says there in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel spoke, saying, I saw, in verse 2, I saw in my dream of the night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. The four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion in eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth. And it was made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, and a second beast, like a bear, it was raised up. It was raised up, one on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And thus, and said thus, arise and devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird, and the beast also had four heads, and the dominion was given to it. And after this, I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast. And so what I want to focus your attention on is this fourth beast. And the reason we want to do that is because Daniel even says later in the chapter, he says, I want to look at this fourth beast. I want to talk more about this fourth beast. That's what really caught his attention. And it says, after this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadfully and terribly and exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring and breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was a little horn, a little one coming up among them, before whom the three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. So the first thing he sees this image. He sees an image. He has a vision of these four beasts. But on the fourth beast, he sees this beast, and he says this beast is dreadful. It's terrible, exceedingly strong. It has huge iron teeth. It was devouring and breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. So he sees this beast with these 10 horns, just like a gladiator with iron teeth. Everything he sees, it's smashing and devouring. Okay? And then it says that it had these 10 horns. And it has these 3 horns, which of first were plucked out. And out for those 3 horns that were plucked out, this little horn came up. Okay, well, we know, reading farther on, if you look in verse 25, it says this horn shall speak pompous words against the Most High. This little horn that he sees popping up in this vision is the Antichrist. So that's the first thing he sees, is he sees the Antichrist, this man that speaks pompous words against the Most High, blasphemous words against the Most High. So that's the first thing he sees. Then, if you go to verse 13, the second thing he sees, if you go to verse 9, the second thing he sees, he says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued, and it came forth before him. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. So the second thing he sees, after he sees this Antichrist, he sees the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is the Father on the throne. When you come boldly to the throne room of grace, we say, oh, Father, thy will be done, not my will be done, but your will be done, as Jesus cried out. The Father on the throne is the Ancient of Days. So the second thing he sees, the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow. His hair his head was like white, pure wool. And fire came from his throne. That's the Father. And then the third thing he sees in this vision is in verse 13. It says, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all the people, nations, language should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one which shall never be destroyed. So what we see in verse 13, the third thing he sees is he sees the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is coming to the Ancient of Days, the Father on the throne. And the angels take Jesus and bring him to the Father. And it says, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and to the Son was given dominion, glory, and in a kingdom, and all the people, nation, languages, tribes, and everything should worship him. Everything was given. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to me from heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, Jesus said to the disciples. Amen? And so here we are, we see this horn, the Antichrist. But then we see the Ancient of Days. And then we see on the Father, and then we see the Son, where everything is handed over to the Son. You know, isn't that great? You know what it says in Ephesians? That we're joint heirs with Christ. Just as everything is handed over to the Son, guess what? Everything is handed over to you because you've obtained an inheritance. Amen? Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Everything is ours, right? Jesus said, ask of me and I will give you the kingdom. Amen? This is it. So now what I want to focus our attention on is in verse 21. It says in verse 21, He's watching. And the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. You see what that says, you guys? In verse 21, he sees this horn, the Antichrist, Satan, the devil, making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Do you know that sometimes Satan prevails against us? Sometimes it says that Satan was making war and prevailed against him. It happens. All of a sudden, man, we see a man of God falls into sin and his life is ruined. And sometimes in our life, we make mistakes, right? Paul at the end of his life said, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Okay, here it is. The war is being raged, and the war is being raged in your family. The war is being, Satan is raging war in your, to your children and in your marriage and at your work. And he's sometimes prevailing, amen? Doesn't it seem like sometimes we're losing the battle? It's like, man, what is happening to my son? Why is he going sideways? I taught him the scriptures when he was young. Why isn't he, what's happening? It seems like, and Satan says here is that, he's making war against the saints and prevailing against them. And you know, being in the mission field sometimes, it just sometimes seems like everything is, all the vehicles are broken, the water pipes are leaking, and the pastors are complaining, and something is like, oh no, we're out of money, there's no beans and rice. We got Jesus Christ, but no beans and rice. I don't know, do they even know we're here? He's winning. I'm packed up. I came here so many times, I said, I'm finished. I'm out of here. Get my bag. And it's like, oh, that's right, I don't have any place to go. I'm done. I remember Jay came over, right? Jay comes over. He's like, bro, I'm here, man. I'm all awesome, Jay. Good seeing you, buddy. You know, it's like, hey, we got some all. We're going to tear it up, man. And all of a sudden, the next day, Jay's like, hey, I'm not feeling too good. Oh, really? Oh, brother Jay, man, be strong in the Lord, right? Next thing you know, Jay's laying down with a fever. And the next day, I'm like, huh, I don't feel good either. Whoa. And man, me and Jay are laying on our bunks, man. He's on bunk 22. I'm on bunk 23. And it's like 11 days, wasn't it? I mean, we're in, I remember like day 9, well, this thing's not breaking. I'm like, our beds are soaking wet. We can barely move. We haven't eaten. We're like, oh, this is, man, we're finished. Satan's winning, amen? Come on. I remember it's like, I'll never forget. It's like, I don't know. It was like day 8. We're not moving, right? We're not getting better. And Jay's like, Pastor Brian, oh yeah. He's like, if I don't get better by tomorrow, man, I got to get a flight out to Florida. Oh, just keep praying, bro. We got to beat it, man. And day 11, man, I see Jay get up. I'm like, are you okay, bro? Hey, are you feeling better? And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, man, wow. I remember coming out and see the cooks. God bless you. You know, how's life? Tell me about your family. Such a new man, you know what I mean? You're so compassionate now, Pastor Brian, amen? And man, it's like, whoa. We ended up, I think we had dengue fever. And the same mosquito that bit Jay bit me. But sometimes that's how we feel. Sometimes it's like, whoa, this is it. And so it says, you know, that the horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. And I love verse 22, you guys. This is the solution to every problem, every financial problem, every illness, every problem with your child, every problem at work, every problem with your car, your house, your plumbing, whatever it is. Here it is, verse 22, the solution, the answer. It says, until the Ancient of Days came. Amen? On day 11, the Ancient of Days came, and we popped up. It was like, whoa, what was that? Amen? In Psalms 103, it says he heals all of our diseases, right? Forgives all of our sin, all of our iniquity, heals all of our diseases. And it says, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. You guys, this is reality, and this is the solution. This is what happens. You know, this is the solution. This is, think about this. It's like, the horns making war against the saints and prevailing. They're losing. It's like being in a football game. You know, we're in the Super Bowl. We're losing 58-0. Right? 58-0. Everyone's mocking us. It's like there's 2 minutes left in the game. We're finished. We're just saying, how are we going to make it to the locker room and get out of here? We're done, right? And then all of a sudden the ref comes. Until the Ancient of Days, he comes and he goes, winners! And then to the team, the other team, lake of fire. That's what happens here. I mean, here it is. You're losing the game. You're finished. You're done. You're lost. You lost. It's over. There's no way you can win. Until the Ancient of Days came, rendered judgment in favor of the saints, and gave them the kingdom. Gave them the trophy. There it is. Okay, final call. Winners, give them the Super Bowl trophy. You, Lake of Fire. Yes. Oh, man, this is it, you guys. This is the solution. This is what we need to remember. This is what I need. We need to remember this. This is what Paul was talking about. This is what Paul was like, hey, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. What? Ancient of Days. We need the Ancient of Days to come. That's it. And you know what he says, the Ancient of Days? Jeremiah 33 says, call on me, and I'll answer you, amen? And I'll show you great and mighty things. And man, this is the solution. We just need, you know, to set our minds, if I can remember this, you know, set my mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Ancient of Days, the of the Father, right? Looking to Jesus, praying, get our eyes up there. Abraham had, he goes, I'm looking to a city whose builders, makers, God without foundations. You know, set it going up. And it tells us there that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the Ancient of Days. The Almighty, amen? And then this is it, you guys. This is an encouragement because this is what God wants. This is what he wants from me. You know, and this is what he wants. He says, look, come. Come to me. I know what's going on. I can solve this. And he's the only one. I'm here tonight to tell you, and you already know it. It's just a reminder to myself that the problems that we have, no one can solve them except for the Ancient of Days. And in a lot of times, the Ancient of Days might even have created the problems. Amen? If you look in the book of Mark, I love that. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had said that in the book of Mark, it said Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. So that means that they didn't want to get into the boat. I mean, I have a son. If I say, son, get in the car. I'm not getting in the car. Get in the car. You're getting in the car, right? I have to make him get in the car. It says he made the disciples get into the boat. That means they didn't want to get in the boat. Well, me and, you know, Peter and James and John, we're going over to Capernaum. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. You know, Philip, where are you going? Nope, get in the boat. He makes them get in the boat. He puts them in the boat, and they sends them off to the other side. And then it says that he goes up on a high mountain and prays. And so, if you've been there to the Sea of Galilee, you can see from those high mountains, you can see the entire Sea of Galilee. So he's watching them. And it says there in the middle of the night that they're rowing contrary to the wind, and the waves are coming in, and they're freaked out. They think they're going to die. And you know, it tells us that isn't he the one that commands the winds and the waves? He's watching them. He put them in a trial. Remember what he says, consider not strange these fire trials that have come to test you. And so here it is, you know. He sends them out. I love it. He sends them out. They're in a storm. They think they're dying. They're screaming. They're all in the boat. They've been out there. They're rowing, and nothing's happening. The waves are crashing in the boat. And then it says that Jesus came by, walked as though he would have passed them by. Hey, guys. Did you need me? Are you guys in a little bit of a situation? And I love it. It's as he walked by as though he would have passed them by. And they're like, ah! He gets in. He goes, oh, hey, guys, how you doing? Gets in the boat, and the wind stops. Amen? Isn't that the solution? I'm sure if they would have called on him earlier, he would have come down and got in the boat. It was, hey, guys, that was good. You did great. Did it quick. Right? How much unnecessary pain and suffering I go through. It's like, did we pray? I don't know. Did anybody here pray? Hey, we better pray, amen. Men ought to always pray and not lose heart, it says. You know, I think that is so important. It's like God wants us. He wants us. We were talking about that this morning. Think about that. What he really wants is you. You know, it says in Revelation 4:11 that he created all things, and by his good pleasure, they exist. You exist for his pleasure. By his good pleasure, they exist. That's why you're here, for him. He created you in his image for him. That's it. It's so simple. In Genesis 3:8, it said, God walked with Adam in the cool of the garden. Hey, Adam, how you doing? Good. You have everything here, right? Yeah, how you doing, right? That's what he originally wanted. He wanted us. And so, you know, I think it's so important if we could just remember that all he wants is us. He just wants our attention. It says in the book of Jeremiah, I was thinking about this today, Jeremiah, that he says, "And my people go day in and day out without even thinking about me. Without even talking to me, without even caring about me." And it just, he loves it. He loves it when you come to him and just, you know, I don't know, it doesn't have to be anything weird. It can just be while you're walking or when you're, I don't know, just, hey, you know, seek ye first. He wants us. He wants you. Thank you. And I think if I can get to that place where I'm constantly thinking about the Lord and constantly seeking him, he said, seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. He's there. The Bible says the word is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth, that if you confess to the Lord that you'll be saved. That's what he wants. He's near you. And he draws near to you. You know, it says in Malachi 3:16 that those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and he drew near, and he wrote it in a book of remembrance. He's like, oh, they're talking about me. Wow, hey, guys. It's even on the road to Emmaus. After the resurrection, the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and there he is. He's walking there with them. And it says when they started to speak about him, that he drew near. Hey, guys, what you talking about? Hey, here I am, right? That's what he wants. And it's so awesome because when we start to focus our attention on him and not look at the waves like Peter did, just start to focus on him, then what happens is he's able to start to speak to us. He's start able to hear, because you have to get close to him. You have to spend time with him. You have to give him your attention. If I tell my son, you know, hey, take out the trash, and he's texting his friend or he's emailing his friend, And I looked the next day, and there's no, the trash wasn't out. It's like, did you take out the trash? Not right now, Dad. I'm talking to someone. Wait a minute. Right? You have to take everything away. Give me the iPad. Give me the computer. Give me everything. Take the trash out. Okay, right? That's it. That's what he does. He's like, you got to listen to me. And so, you know, one of the things is that's the key there to be able to start to listen to him, to start to hear him, to see what he's saying. And I found that, you know, just in the last 3 years, how important it is to be able to listen to him. Because, see, we're in a battle. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We can't fight with the things that we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. The battles that you have and I have, you can't see what's going on. And if you try to respond in with your own eyes and your own senses and your limited vision and knowledge, you're not going to be able to solve a lot of the problems because it's something else happening behind the scenes. Amen? And that's why he's the only one that knows how to and fix those things. And so, he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. I know for without a shadow of a doubt that when God told me this vision for the nation of Haiti, that it was his voice. No one can tell me different. No one can move me. People can't change the vision. They've tried to. They've told me to do other things. I know exactly what God wants to do in Haiti. Exactly. And you know, after I got there, there was a lady who called me about a year after I got there. And she called and she was on the phone crying. She said, Pastor Brian. I said, yeah. She goes, how's the Haiti Bible Training Center going? I go, it's going great. We got our first students out. They're doing great. She goes, Pastor Brian, 7 years ago, God spoke that same exact vision to my husband and he wouldn't do it. But I know that's what God wants to do in Haiti. God has ways to confirm that that's his vision and that's what he spoke. And you know, God wants to speak in your life because he's got something for you that you, he says, you know what? I'm going to show you, you know, I'm going to show you something. He says, your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard. It hasn't even entered your hearts, the thing that the Lord has prepared for you. And you'll never find it. I'll never find it unless I come to the Ancient of Days and say, Lord, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and he'll give freely without reproach. Lord, I need to know what to do. And you know, that's the solution in life. That's the key to life. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Amen? Think about it. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that the good works that he ordained before the foundations of the earth, that you should walk in them. He has, it says in Acts, that he knows your pre-appointed times and the places of your dwelling, but he has these days this plan for your life. I remember Pastor Chuck, when I listened to his tapes, he said, you cannot do better for your life than the plan that God has for you. And it says in Psalms 31 or 39 that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Who should know it? You were made specifically for a good work that God has for you. And it's a good work. But guess what? The only way we're going to find out what it is if we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we will know what the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God is. That's the only thing. The most important thing for you and me tonight is to know what the will of God is. Not the will of your high school counselor, not the will of someone else, right? But the will of God is the most important thing. Paul said it. He said, don't be unwise, but be wise and know what the will of the Lord is for you. You see, people that are doing great things for God, it's because they found out what they were made for and they're doing it. A lot of people know what they're made for, but they won't do it. They won't do it. I was at church. There'd be there. People would be sitting there for years and say, you know what? Man, I want to do this. I want to do this. And you just see them. They never do it. And they just, but God's looking for someone that will do his will. Amen. That's what he wants. Because he's want, you know, it's size. The Bible says that his eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Somebody that will do his will. Not their own will. That's the biggest problem I've had in my Christian life. My will. I don't want to do that. That's what I want to do. And it'll if it's a work of the flesh, God doesn't even look at it. It's got to be what he wants to do, and he does it, and he gets all the glory. And guess what? When people see it, they'll go, that's the Lord. Because it wasn't me, it wasn't Jay, it wasn't any one of us. They go, that's the Lord. And you know how they say that's the Lord? Is if he hears and he obeys. Because then it's evident. And one of the last things that Paul wrote to the church of Rome, he said, your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Be wise concerning good, simple concerning evil. You know what Paul was saying to them? Everybody's so happy with you. Everybody. Your faith, he said earlier, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Why? Because your obedience has become known to all. Everyone knows that you're obeying the Lord. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. And when you do something that's obeying the Lord, the Spirit in me goes, whoa, awesome, awesome. But then all of a sudden, if you're doing something else that's on your own, the Spirit goes, Brian, Pastor Brian, can you help me? Can you get some support for me? Let's wait. You know what I mean? And that's most of the time. People come up with great ideas, but that's what God's looking for. Somebody that will obey him. And you know what? God will maneuver you through everything that you need to go through as you obey him. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. How many here want the Holy Spirit? Amen. We want, yes, amen. Lord, fill us. Lord, seek and knock. Fill us with the Spirit. Well, he says, hey, I'll give you the Holy Spirit if you obey. And you're going to get the Holy Spirit if you obey. But before you obey, you have to hear the instructions. Amen? And the way you're going to hear the instructions is if you're calling on the Ancient of Days. If you're going to the Jesus Christ and say, Lord, Father, what's your will? Not my will, but your will be done. What is it? What will you do? And I'll do it. And man, it's transforming. That's what God's looking for. He says, don't, you know, lay your lives down as a living sacrifice. The reason being is because I got so many plans and so many desires that I'm not going to do yours right now. I got mine. And it'll always end up, we'll drink from that water. And as Jesus said to the woman at the well, you will thirst again. Amen. This is the key, is to be able to hear his voice and to do it. You know, I like that because we have the horn is making war against us, and a lot of times he's prevailing, right? A lot of times where I'm at in Haiti, it's warfare city. 200 years of voodoo, it's on. I mean, the lights, the water, and the car will all break simultaneously. Really? And just at the perfect time. You know what I mean? Just when you have someone coming in. All of a sudden, they're so fired up. Boom, vehicles break. No way to pick them up at the airport. Oh, no. You pick them up. They're all freaked out. Where were you? And the warfare starts, eh? I don't know what happened. So that's what it is. You know, the warfare, the horn's making war. But I love that because he says, if you obey him, the God of peace will just crush Satan under your feet. He's going to crush them under your feet. The Bible says in Isaiah 35 that there's a highway there. It's a highway of holiness. And although a fool, you don't have to be smart. You can be a total fool if you walk that path, that there's no lion there. The devil who walks around like a roaring lion seeking who may devour. As you listening and walking, the Bible says in Proverbs, mark out that straight path for your feet and stick to the path and stay safe. Don't go to the right and don't go to the left. You're going straight ahead with exactly what he told you to do. And that's exactly what God's looking for. somebody that will do all of his will. You remember the story in Samuel, the first king, Saul, the first king. It wasn't going good. I love it. The prophet Samuel's coming to, you know, basically rebuke him. He says, where's Saul? He goes, oh, he went to Gibeah to make a monument for himself. He's making a statue of himself right now. Can you come tomorrow, right? God's coming, you know, the prophet. I love it. So he tells him, he gives him instructions. He says, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to wipe out the Amalekites. And so you know the story. Here comes Saul back, all the sheep, wipe out the Amalekites and wipe out everything, nothing left, right? Get rid of it, right? And so so there he is. He comes back and he hears the sheep. He's got King Agag. Who's this guy? Oh, this is, you know, the king. I've saved the best for the Lord. And he starts, you know, trying to, yeah, I did. He goes, why didn't you obey? He goes, I did obey. He goes, no, you didn't. He goes, no, you didn't. And because you didn't obey, God's going to raise up for himself David, a man after his own heart that will do all of his will. That's it. David said, I'll do it. Was David perfect? No. But David said, I'm going to try to do everything you say. If it's to go across the street and hand a Bible tract to the guy sitting there in the wheelchair, that's what I'm going to do. If you're faithful in those small things, then God will start to speak to us more. And that's what we need. That's what we need now. We need God to help us to maneuver through this war-torn nation. This place, everything is, it's going crazy. And we need the Holy Spirit and God's wisdom and God's voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Amen? That's what we need. God's like, hey, I want to do it. Who's going to go? Who will do it? And he says, you know, that's that right there. If we can get that tonight, then I believe God is just going to pour. He'll pour out his spirit. He'll pour out his spirit in your life and in your family. It's the solution with your kids. You know, you look at the battles in the Bible. Really look at those things. Look at the battles that he says. You got, what did they do? What did they do, these battles in the Bible, is they obeyed the voice of the Lord. Look at Jericho. Their first battle. High wall. They're going in. What do? The commander of the Lord's army says, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go around six times. Then you're going to come back. On the seventh day, you go around seven times, and then you blow the trumpets, and I'll blow the walls out. Amen? They didn't do anything. They did not do anything to Jericho. All they did is obey the voice of the Lord, and God gave them the victory. You know, Paul's saying, hey, your obedience has become known to all. God will crush Satan under your feet. How do you know if God says, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to go stand right over here and don't move? And how do you know by you obeying that God doesn't open a door for you that no man can close? That's exactly what he says. Look what happens to Gideon. The Midianites are more numerous than all the grasshoppers. I think it says for 18 years, the children of Israel were oppressed by Midian. They were hiding in the dens, in the caves. And the Lord comes to Gideon, and he says, you mighty man of valor. He says, well, what with me? I'm the least of my father's tribe, me. He goes, yeah, what do you mean, you? You're going to obey me. Here's what we're going to do. What do you want me to do? How are we going to take them on? He goes, okay, what you're going to do, you're going to get a little pitcher of water or a little pitcher. Then you're going to put a little light in it. Really? Yeah. And then you're going to lead the example. There's going to be other people following, and you're going to break the pitcher, blow the trumpet, and say, sword of the Lord of Gideon. Think about that. That happened. How would you like it if ISIS was coming at you and God said, here's what you're going to do. Take a pitcher, put a candle in it, go out there, Jay, in the Iraqi desert, and break the pitcher. Amen? And that's how we're going to defeat them. That's what happens. That's what the Bible, these are their stories. That Jehoshaphat, we got people of Moab and Mount Seir and Ammon coming up. They're coming up against Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat goes in to the Ancient of Days and cries out, what do I do? He goes, okay, What do I do? He says, nothing. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What do you want me to do? Okay, just stay here and praise me. Don't do anything. Same thing with Hezekiah. Syria's, the Assyrians are surrounding Jerusalem. What do we do? All he did is he went into the temple. He laid out before the Ancient of Days, and he confessed. He says, Lord, we've sinned. We don't have any strength. We don't even have anything to fight this great army. I don't know what to do. We're finished. They're here. They've already wiped out the northern kingdom. They're surrounding us, little Jerusalem. What do I do? And right after that, it says, the Ancient of Days sent an angel and took out 185,000 frontline Assyrian troops, and they won. They didn't do anything. You know, the thing is, it says that they did it at night. So when the Israeli soldiers woke up in the morning, all the corpses were dead. All glory and honor and power belong to the Ancient of Days. Amen? It's constantly like that. You're going to do exactly what I tell you to do because you're my child and I want you. And by you obeying, it's proof that you're listening carefully to me. It doesn't matter what you do because you don't do anything anyway. There's nothing you can do. Isn't that what it says? Without him, we can do nothing. There's nothing we can do for this battle, this spiritual battle that's raging against our nation and our family and our kids. There's nothing we can do. The only thing we can do is call on the Ancient of Days and say, what do you want me to do? And he just say, okay, listen and obey. There's no other way. Amen. Amen, you guys. I hope you're encouraged. I pray, you know, that this message will just continue to resonate with us. And it's simple. It's not complicated. We don't have to wait till next week. We can do it right away. Just get close to the Ancient of Days. I know a lot of you guys. If you're like me, we all got things going on. Amen. We got things that are happening, right? Transmissions are slipping. Kids are using drugs. You know, the boss is threatening. How payments are due. It's coming, man. It's coming. And there's nothing. Hey, newsflash. There's nothing you can do about any of that except call on the Ancient of Days. Amen? He wants you. He wants you so much to just say, hey, cast your cares upon me, please. I know your cares. Just cast them on me. I want them. Watch what I do. That's what he says. I got this new Bible. I opened it up. The first thing it says, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? That's the word of the Lord, you guys. Lord, I